Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Are you back in Vancouver, Ray?
Yeah, I am. Yesterday was like 106 in Vegas, and it's 12. What's that? Like 53 in Vancouver? I'm like, what the hell?
A bit of a drop.
Like, I landed on the moon.
Yeah. Did you get out of there like first thing this morning?
I had a 5:37 flight.
Oh. I think I've been on ones like that where I've just stayed up all night and gone right to the airport. I actually had one. I was in Vegas in March, and I just went all night and then went right to the airport and slept on the plane.
So I made a valiant effort last night. I went home, like, I don't know, whatever time we got out of there, 10 something or other, and went back, had to pack. I was sitting in my room, and I'm like, okay, man, I got to go to bed. And then I couldn't sleep, and so I zipped in a last hour of blackjack and had to dig clothes out of my suitcase because I packed everything away.
you decided to lay down a little extra money, donate a little extra money before you left, or did you come out ahead?
No, I noticed that they needed a little refresh of the wallpaper, so I left a little bit more behind.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, but I felt like the guy, I'm sure you guys have seen this guy. It's 9 in the morning. He's playing blackjack. He's got his suitcases with him. Like, he's already checked out. And he's walking through, and he's like, damn it, I could win this time.
Yeah, just sit down once. One more time. Chasing it.
And he's got his... This happened the other day. I saw a guy like this. I'm like, I wanted to tell him, man, just go home. You're not turning it around now. You're almost out the door. Go. Leave. So,
yeah, I've
had enough of Vegas. Time to go home. I'm glad to be home.
Yeah. Well, no kidding, man. And I guess Washington, they just landed in D.C., and it was a wild night last night. We'll get to the game, but I want to include you in the conversation we were just having. And it's always difficult to discuss lists, top five, top ten, when you're talking about a league that's been around for 100 years. But as I said just prior to having you on, I think it's been generally accepted. Gretzky or Lemieux, Howe, that's like the Mount Rushmore. That's the top four. I think you can make a strong case for Crosby being the number five guy with guys like Richard and Lafleur and Harvey, etc. But Ovechkin, he would have been around there anyway, but I do think adding a Conn Smythe and a Cup, that gives him the opportunity to move up, and maybe he is in the top 10 right now. How much value do you place in the hardware he picked up last night?
Well, it's funny. The Stanley Cup, I don't think, comes into play for me as to rating a guy whether he's one of the greatest of all time.
I agree.
Only because you could be a stud and just your time is with a bunch of guys that aren't very good, and that's, or not good enough. And that, I don't think that should detract from what a guy has done. Gord Miller uses this great analogy all the time. He's like, if Stanley Cups are the only thing that matter, then you would say Murray Wilson, who won a couple of cups with Montreal, is a better player than his brother Doug Wilson. And nobody would ever make that case, except Murray won two Stanley Cups. So the thing that mattered to me yesterday, for not just Ovi winning the Conn Smythe, but was the way that he won it. Like, it was a chapter of his play that we've never seen from him before. Like, I was, honestly, guys, not to jump into the narrative of, you know, oh, he total buy-in and all that, but like, everybody said it. Like, the man, like Brian McClellan said it, Barry Trotz said it, the players said it. They've never seen him play more inside the system than he's ever done before, than he's ever had before. And so to me, it's like, not only was he their top goal scorer and getting, you know, 15 goals, but he played in a way that the critique of him was, you couldn't win, he's not a leader. Well, the fact of the matter is, yes, he is. And he just showed us that he is.
Do you not think,
Ray, I was really impressed.
Do you not think he just realized that he can affect a hockey game more than scoring a goal? I mean, you notice the block shots, the hitting. It was like, it just, that little simple thing. I just don't have to score three goals for us to win. I have to work hard. I have to be the hardest worker, and everyone will follow me.
Well, you know what? I 100% agree. Oh, and the guy can be told 100 times, but until he realizes it,
yeah, it took him 14 years.
It doesn't particularly matter. Man, look, I played with Ilya Kovalchuk, and I will say Ilya's biggest fault is that whenever there was a problem, he always thought he was the answer to it. And it wasn't because he looked around and said, oh, these guys suck. He looked around and said, I want to win, and I think I can help us win. And so he would try to do it by himself. Remember the last year he played in Jersey when they went to the finals? He was like Ovi was this year. He played 24 minutes a game. He was killing penalties. He was putting up points. It was crazy. And everybody gets it at a certain time. Some guys are just good enough to affect the game when they do get it. Like Ovechkin was affecting the game in ways he never has. And it's so impressive. And so, you know, to this conversation, the answer is, yeah, I think he is in the top 10, but I don't know that, for me, that the Stanley Cup would have put him over the top for me. The way he played, that actually carries more weight in this conversation than the cup, which was impressive enough as it is.
No, I think that's a very good point. Like, if he was injured throughout this playoff run, you'd be like, well, you know, what? I can't even include Ovechkin in all of this. Yeah, he'll get a ring, but there's an asterisk beside it. Like when Forsberg, when Colorado won without him, everyone brings that up. You know, remember, they won a cup and Forsberg was hurt, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think the fact that, as you just broke down, you know, he was so impressive and such an integral part to all of it does hold weight. But I also think, you know, it's easy to say in the moment. You mentioned, you know, sometimes you don't win a cup and it's just because you weren't on the team. The fact is, you look at the greats of all time, they all have them. Like, they just do.
Right.
Gretzky's got them, Orr's got them, Lemieux's got them, Howe's got them, LaFleur's got them. They all have them. Like, all the way down the list. So it just, it's
so
one of the.
Maybe our rating system's wrong.
Well, maybe it is, but also I just think it would have really stood out if Ovechkin didn't have one. It just would have. I'm not even saying today or the day he retired or what have you. It just 20 years down the road, you'd be like, oh, he never got one. And now that you got one, you're in the group. Like, it just, and it will also factor in that way 20 years down the road. Look at all this stuff. Look at all the goals he scored and the hardware he had, but he also won a cup and a Conn Smythe.
You know what, Brian? As you were saying that, I was thinking of the when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, that would have, you're 100% right. That would have been talked about. Yeah, but he never won. He never won anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that can't be. And I wonder what the people think that had constantly bashed him. Like, can they see the picture now that it is different? That he did do the things that they said he couldn't? That he did lead not just by scoring 59 goals or whatever he scored, you know, 49 this year, 15 in the playoffs. Like, do they see what he did? Because it was totally different. I was super impressed. I was every bit as impressed with their team as I was with him, because everything that the Capitals weren't over the past few years when they were supposed to win, that they just never were, they were this year. Like, they were, that was just an amazing performance by their team. And just think, they were in double overtime in game 3 against Columbus. They were down 2-0. And they score, the puck hits Lars Eller's foot and bounces around 3 times and goes in. They could have lost that game just as easily as won it, and they might have been gone in the first round.
Yep.
And then they escaped, and now look.
And the narrative would have still been, you can't win with Ovi, they're a bunch of choke artists. You know, Ovi's a coach killer because Trotz probably would not have been back. And like, there's, I try and think of the things that Ovi's been called throughout his career. Coach killer is one of them. Cancer in the room. What else?
Don't you think, Jamie, it's going to give everybody within the league, and Ray, you can weigh in on all of us, everybody in the league, whether it be Tampa Bay, Toronto moving forward, other teams with good teams. Well, we got to just be patient. Look at Washington.
Well, Nashville.
They've been good for Nashville.
Nashville's another team that's been really good the last couple
of
years.
They can just sit back and say, hey, look at Washington. Look how long it took. Stick with the process here.
Well, and I also think, you know, the narrative that got slayed more than anything last night for me is that he cared more about the world championships, or he cares more about playing for Russia on the international stage. That guy was jacked up last night.
He shoved it up everybody's ass last night, period.
Like, he was jacked up to win a Stanley Cup.
Since I've been doing the radio stuff, I'm on the ice right as they win. And, you know, I do a couple interviews, and I've not seen a team as emotionally I wrote last night, they were all puddles. The manager, the coaches, the players, the trainers, everybody was crying. Like, they were so happy, relieved. Like, this has been an anvil around their neck. And, man, he was going wild. Like, Ovi was wild. He picked up, when he got to the end of the line where Ted Leonsis was, he picked him up like a 10-year-old kid. He just lifted him up off the ice. I thought he was going to put him on his shoulders. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is 3 minutes into the celebration. They were going crazy. It was really cool to see. It was really cool for just what you mentioned, Brian. Like, he cared about everything else more than the Stanley Cup. Well, nobody can sell me on that anymore.
How weird was the clock malfunction being in the rink?
So it went to, I think, 14 seconds or something, or 18 seconds. And then, you know, you notice it stopped. But what I noticed was everybody was slamming their sticks on the boards. It was like a peewee tournament, right? Everybody was just like, bang, 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 bang. And you look up, and the thing's frozen.
Didn't that seem shady, Ray?
No, because it wouldn't have mattered, because there's the, you know, the clock is being timed manually as well. So somewhere they had the right time. But then it moved 2 seconds, then it stopped, then it moved 1 second, and all I could think of is, this has the potential for a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, just a flat-out disaster to happen.
Yeah.
Where were you? We talked about it right off the top of the show. I don't know where you were sitting, but Nick Backstrom could have iced the game with about 28 seconds left.
Yes.
And missed the net. And I thought he had a lot of pressure, but I went back and looked at the video.
Full-blown
yips.
Ryan was like, this could have been the Bill Buckner situation if Vegas would have come back and scored and they'd lost that game last night. You never know.
Well, okay, Noodles, I was standing in the corner where John Carlson iced the puck 3 times in a row.
Yep.
I wanted to reach out and go, just shoot it off the glass. Like, he was just pounding it around the boards. Nobody was going to get there. And so that's where I was. And when Backstrom, he made the move and he got out to his backhand and got around whoever was out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's over. Like, I thought he was going to skate it into the net.
Yeah.
And then he shot it from where he did and he whiffed it. And I'm like, oh, man. And right away, of course, we all think the same thing. This is going to end up in the net.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Immediately, I'm like, they're getting scored on. It's karma somehow.
And so then Backstrom, you know, you see after, like, his hand is just mangled, right?
Yeah.
Like, he could barely hold the cup. TJ Oshie's leg is, he probably shouldn't have been playing. And so we'll get all these reports, I'm sure, in the next few days about this guy and that guy, Vegas guys too. And I'm constantly amazed year after year what these guys put into trying to win. And they get this close, and Vegas, after all this year and all this, you know, magical story, they basically get a you-know-what burger at the end.
Yeah.
Great, they make some bonus money. But they're not coming back here next year. I mean, not unless they spend $20 million and get John Carlson and John Tavares, which I guess is in the realm of possibility. But, like, it was a magical year. We all know from the years we played, 1 year doesn't guarantee the next.
Nope.
And I felt bad for them, because I'm like, man, they, like, even last night, they played their ass off, and they were so close. And then when that fourth one went in, you're like, finally, it really felt like, okay, this is all over now.
Yeah,
finally over. The shoe couldn't fit anymore, like you put it.
Yeah, they're amazing. It was actually for a 5-game series, it was really impressive to watch. Like, how Washington just, after that wild first game, they just took the thing over. I thought it was a really good, great game last night.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was a great, outside of game four, for the most part, it was a great series. You know, great back and forth and a lot of animosity and a lot of passion and different storylines. I thought it was great. And, you know, I've been goofing on Vegas for a long time. But the truth is, I mean, they had an incredible year, an absolutely incredible year. Never felt like an expansion team. Until a clock malfunction and a girl starts flashing the Capitals. Then you realize they're an expansion team from Vegas. Right at the
How about
end.
That? I didn't see that until one of the guys sent out an email this morning with the, you know, the link to Twitter on it. Yeah. And I opened it up and I'm like,
just a quick flash for the boys.
Yeah.
Congrats on the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And somebody brought up a good point. Like, if that would have been some guy, it would have been some big fat slob.
Yeah.
But the girl that's flashing, she knows she's got the deal here.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That was Vegas in a nutshell.
Exactly.
Like, just
that
not a care in the
that
world.
That wasn't a goon in Chicago or anything.
No, that wasn't a guy taking a player's helmet and putting it on.
Exactly.
That was a missile from the Strip who was like, nah, season's over. What are you going
to
do?
But wasn't there, just to, you know, a couple other things, like TJ Oshie's interview last night.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, my God. It just amazing. And, you know, just the way, you know, the guys talked about him and, you know, Brooks Orpik saying that, you know, you needed to get him back. And, I mean, one after one, those guys were, you could just see the relief just pour out of them. It seems different than when other teams have won. I would say the fact that they failed and failed and failed and failed made people, even that weren't Caps fans, had to go, you know what, this is a cool story.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it. A lot like the Cubs a couple of years ago. Anyway, enjoy it back in Vancouver. We'll do it again Monday, and we'll turn the page and start looking at the draft and free agency.
Yep, I'll try and make sure I get my round in by the time we tee off.
Please
otherwise,
do.
I'll check on the tee times.
See what you can do for us.
Yes, we'll work at it.
Thanks,
later,
buddy.
Boys.
It's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.